Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Time for So You Think You're an Adult. I'm pleased to say Barbara and Declan.
I thought you were going to say they're talking of advice. I thought that's a really smart link.
Yeah. I was going to say, talking of advice from racists.
Oh, you have us tagged.
Right, okay, here's your first question. I have been married for 20 years. My wife is 54 and she has no interest in sex at all. It's been around 6 years since any physical contact. I want to leave my wife. I don't want to leave because my life is awful without physical contact. Is it wrong of me to leave?
Yes.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, this is such...
Make up your mind, Declan.
What do you say, yeah?
No, I say no.
You say no. This is a really short letter, so it's very hard to give any specific advice to this man about whether or not it is wrong for him to leave. 6 years without any physical contact is clearly quite a long time, but we've no information as to what happened. Like, was this sudden 6 years ago that everything just stopped, or has it been a gradual decline over the last 6 years? We also don't know whether he's spoken to his wife about the situation and how much it's making him unhappy. I mean, clearly she's probably in menopause, and that can be difficult for many women and can result in a plummeting sex drive. So, you know, we're kind of talking in the dark here. But broadly speaking, sex is a very important part of any committed relationship. There's lots of people who say it's the glue that keeps intimacy. That keeps intimacy and kind of love alive. I'm not totally convinced of that. There's a lot of couples whose sex lives are curtailed because of health issues. He makes no mention of love in this letter either, which I think is kind of telling. Mm. And I pick up that there's more going on here than he's telling us about. And also that he's angry and he's looking for us to say, yeah, you're right. You know, you should leave. 6 years is too long. And we can't say that because we have no information. I do think it's a kind of a nuclear option, like that he's suddenly gone from kind of like, this is what the story is and I'm out. Because there's no guarantee that he'll find weekly sex outside of unless he's got very deep pockets.
Weekly? Ooh, quite the raver, aren't we?
Unless he's got, you know, deep pockets. So I don't know. I can't advise him one way or the other.
No, it's difficult to know. And of course, it begs the question is why has his... now, it could be the menopause. It could be their relationships, you know, gone off the boil.
It could be,
somehow.
Yeah. But
I was reading actually that they did a study in some university in the UK, which I forget.
Did you do research, Declan?
Yeah, I was at home.
Very good.
Because I don't know anything about the menopause, so I thought I better check up on
the
report.
Touché. Very good.
But apparently they did a study, and actually it's not menopausal type symptoms that are the highest reason for why women over a certain age stop having sex with their partners. It actually tends to be other kind of issues sometimes.
Like
I don't
what?
Remember the details. I can't remember.
Like
I lost
what?
Interest. what I suppose is interesting about this is that
they get very tired, I think.
And there's
another job on the to-do list.
When this guy is saying my wife is not having sex with me, it's very much this kind of it's a sort of a demanding thing that he's entitled to sex and she's not, you know, offering
giving it up. Yeah.
And that can be a kind of an issue if there's a certain sort of demand and
entitlement
thing that they can be very irritating. I know a lot of girls my age, who said sometimes it's like, oh God, you know, and they make jokes about not having to have sex, which gives the illusion or gives the impression that, you know, sex is something that women, not all women, of course, obviously, discuss, that they kind of have to offer up to a certain point, and then they can say, thank God I can stop having to do that, kind of, you know what I'm saying? Which I don't think is true, and I don't think that as you already mentioned, the sex is the glue inside of a relationship. If the sex part of your relationship isn't working, then your relationship isn't working. And so for him to be saying, oh, she hasn't touched me in 6 years and I'm now going to leave, I think she's already left. Do you know, in that kind
she's
of
she's already left, yeah.
Yeah, because he says no physical contact. Someone says, you know, is he even getting a hug?
Yeah.
And if it's not that, even that, then that's very sad.
But how do you go about getting a hug off someone? You don't, you know, if it's a stranger and you walk up to a stranger on the street and you give them a hug, that's kind of weird. So therefore, obviously, the precursor to getting a hug off a person is some level of intimacy and knowledge and communication, all that kind of stuff. And so if that stuff is missing, then, you know, I'm not putting out if you don't chat to me. So,
well, that's, and I think that's, I think now I think you've put your finger on something very important there. I think communication, that's exactly what sex is within a relationship. Yes, it's another type of communication. And I do think very often, not very often, but I do think if we go with the kind of stereotypes that you were talking about a moment ago, Declan, where, you know, women kind of feel they have to kind of, like, sex is another thing on the to-do list. And, you know, the kind of the idea of like, oh, gee, you know, that's another job done. But I think equally men very often can stop talking and can stop interacting, but still expect that the physical side of their relationship should function the way it always does. And I do think women do think, well, no, if you're not going to come in and ask me how my day was, or, you know, show any interest in how I am or how I'm feeling or, you know, whatever else, well, then I'm not putting out either. So
Because it's not just I'm not getting sex is actually not a statement in and of itself. Is what you're really saying is you're not getting the kind of sex that you want.
Yes, yes.
And if you're not able to engage with your partner on that level of intimacy, then maybe you are better off going to a, you know, somewhere where you pay cash. Because it's like level of it is not working, you know?
Yeah, but there's something, like, if you don't want to hug your partner, then there's something, it's emotionally dead, I would have thought.
But that isn't, isn't that kind of what we're saying?
Yeah.
If the initiation of some kind of sexual contact requires a hug to start it, does that mean every time you hug somebody that it has to go the whole way to
No,
that
of course not.
And
no,
so,
no.
So is, are there kind of daily attempts to be intimate and communicative without
this
recourse?
Sounds like certainly on his side,
and that's what, you know,
this sounds like there's been a simmering resentment for a long time, certainly on his side. And I think this is why he's got to the stage where what I pick up from this is he's angry and he wants out. But what I'm saying is there's no guarantees that life outside is going to be in any way more affectionate or physically satisfying.
Also, it's also asks the question as to what else he's getting out of that relationship. It, you know, because if it's like, okay, I'm not getting the sexual component of the relationship, therefore this relationship is trash to me. That's quite worrying.
It is quite worrying. It's very one-dimensional. But I mean, there's so little to go on. It's very hard to.
Yeah. A few comments on that. I haven't had sex with my husband in almost 10 years. He pulled away, not me. I've just grown used to it. I will say, though, I was tempted to have an affair on a few occasions. I don't blame this guy for wanting out. Someone else says, has he talked to her about it? Maybe talking about it will mean over time she will want physical contact again. Sid says, the answer to the first question is yes. It's always yes. For anybody listening, it's always okay to leave an unhappy relationship.
I agree with that.
Someone else says, why do we think he's angry? He just seems sad and lonely. And someone else says, fair play to him for not cheating to date.
Well,
No, but the thing about it is, look, we said
hang
already.
Hang on a minute. Does that mean that if you're not having sex for whatever reason, say your wife is very unhappy with you and, you know, you haven't been communicating, that you're entitled to have an affair? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that you are. They don't like that.
I don't think one necessarily.
That's what I was trying to refer to earlier on, is that within the confines of what appears or you believe is a functioning relationship, if the sexual component isn't present, then that's a deficiency. So it's not a functioning relationship. Right, you have two options. One is you continue, like the texter there who said she hasn't had sex with her partner for 10 years. You either continue within that and you allow that to be the new normal, even though you're fundamentally unhappy with that, or you say, okay, well, this has got to change. How does it change? It changes by either you leave or you emotionally leave. Or you sexually leave,
which
or whatever.
That may have happened already.
And it sounds like, to me it sounds like that's
Farmer
happened.
John says, women, and this is a bit of wisdom here, women need to feel loved in order to have sex. True. Men need to have sex to feel loved. Catch 22.
Yeah. That's very profound.
Very profound. I am a 60-year-old man who up to 6 months ago thought I was in a happy relationship for the past 20 years. My partner came home one afternoon in March and said she wanted to separate. I didn't see it coming and it hit me very hard. I suggested couples counselling, but she didn't want to know. She had had a recent family bereavement and we had both had health problems over the last couple of years. I moved out and tried to keep up contact, hoping it would come right after a couple of months, but she blocked my number and wants no contact. She was the love of my life and still is. Oh. I'm told that time heals and things will get and feel better eventually. I don't see or feel it and don't know whether to keep trying. Oh God. Yeah. Thanks for your help, they say.
This is really hard because it's that point of in a relationship, whether it comes by surprise or whether it comes gradually through inevitable kind of just disentangling of or conscious uncoupling, I think is what Bennett called it. You're at this point in your relationship. One person wants to leave. The other person doesn't want them to leave or isn't ready for them to leave. What do you do? Do you, A, keep after them going, I will always love you, I will always love you, please stay? Or do you in some way give them the freedom to make their choice and kind of deal with the aftermath? It's really hard, but I kind of, I'm not sure, but I feel that the better option is the second option. Because sometimes the second option can have the consequence of reigniting some kind of interest in you. Because if you're running after somebody going, please pick me, please pick me, please pick me, at the very least, it's kind of irritating. And that just kind of taps into the same, oh, that's all the feelings. You're annoying me. Oh, I'm over you. Stop chasing me. And everything about you becomes the negative emotions. Yeah. Whereas if you allow that person to just be wherever they are at that particular moment and remain available and open to them, but start to kind of act out your own existence and you start to live your own life as if they've gone, but, you know, whatever. You can sometimes have the side effect of rekindling some kind of interest in you because they remind themselves of who they were or who you were at one stage in your life when you weren't the annoying person.
I think this is like what Sean said. I think this is a really, really sad letter because I think if you've been in what you thought was a happy relationship with everything going fine and suddenly out of the blue, your partner says, I want out and seems to be very definite about that with no kind of room for negotiation. She didn't want to go to counselling. She just wanted out and now she's cut all contact. That must be really, really traumatic. And I, the fact that he says that she was the love of his life and she still is the love of his life is terribly, terribly sad. But I agree with what you're saying, Declan, is that I think this probably isn't what he wants to hear, but it sounds from what he said to us that this relationship is over.
Yeah.
Certainly from the wife's point of view, or the woman's point of view, that it's over. And I think that hard and all as it will be for him to come to terms with that, I think he has to come to terms with that, and he has to try and move on. I think it would help him to move on if he had some kind of closure, because it sounds like he doesn't really understand what went wrong. He doesn't really understand why the whole thing imploded.
Well, it sounds like she didn't tell him.
It does, yeah. It sounds like this came completely out of the blue. So I think unfortunately he may not get that closure, because if she's cut contact and doesn't want to be in contact with him, he's not going to get the opportunity to kind of sit down and try and work out what happened. Not to make it better, but just to know what happened. So I would suggest to this guy that he might think of I think he might need some counselling to help him to move on. And I think he should go and talk to his GP, who could probably refer him to somebody. And then I think, like what you said, he needs to start just reimagining a different life for himself.
I definitely agree that he should go to counselling. I think if you're in a breakup situation and you want to go to couples counselling and your partner won't go with you, I think you should still go by yourself.
Yeah.
I think it helps you to frame the situation in your mind in a healthy way. I totally agree. Like, I mean, the severity and the suddenness of this split is traumatic and it's harsh. But maybe that was the intent. It's kind of like the cleanest cut is a harsh thing. And maybe that's where the wife is coming from. They mentioned the bereavement. Maybe that was the catalyst that created this urge to just go, let's going to do this now. It could have been building up for a long time.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, and not to be mean to this guy, because obviously he's hurting deeply, but I suppose it's worth asking, why didn't you see it coming? And maybe you were, oblivious, and maybe you weren't as engaged as you could have been.
But I think it comes back to something we've always talked about before, is that if you are in a committed relationship, whether you're married or not, it takes a whole heap of hard work.
Yes.
It really does. And if, you know, if you take your eye off the pot, you know, things can start to go off the boil very, very quickly and very seriously. So,
and there's difference between you know, your conscious analysis of your relationship and the lived experience of a relationship.
Yeah.
For example, giving me the reasons why we broke up is as it's as analytical as give me the reasons why we fell in love. Because you don't sit there going, oh, do you remember the day we fell in love? That's because this happened and that's because of that, and you were wearing this and you did this and you thought this. We never do that. So why then do we then have to analyse the end part of our relationship other than to make ourselves feel better for what's happened? I know it's part of the healing process.
Well, also because relationships aren't set in aspic. You can say, well, I fell in love with you 20 years ago because of X. Well, X will almost certainly have changed a great deal over that period of time.
Exactly.
Is that not self-evident? Is that not obvious? And is that not something you can see for yourself? Other than, as Sean is saying...
Well, it should be, but it's not always to people.
Because your eyes weren't on the ball, which is what you were just saying. So it's kind of like, that's kind of all the
same. And also because if you're the one who, if you're the one who's left, in other words, if she's... left and you, it wasn't your decision that she has gone, that's going to really, I think, affect your self-esteem and your confidence in yourself. You know, if you didn't see it coming, you'll automatically kind of blame yourself. What did I not see? And maybe it was her that changed. Maybe if she could sit down and explain why, it mightn't be totally his fault. It might have been a combination of things. I think the family bereavement is significant because I think if you lose somebody again unexpected or somebody who was younger, it does make you think, God, life is very short. Maybe she kind of thought, well, look, they've been together for 20 years. Maybe she wasn't that happy for the last few years. Mm. And she thought, no, I've got to move on. I've got to do something else.
Yeah. And maybe it is something also, I mean, just to throw real weird spanner in the works. Maybe it's something that she feels herself that she can't talk to you about, that she can't explain to you. This is part of me.
Yeah.
You know.
A few people saying that man's partner has met someone else. Hence a sudden break. Lack of interest in counselling. No further communication. Not many people, somebody else says, not many people walk away unless of something to go to. Why is she so unwilling to do therapy? Sounds fishy.
Our audience, though, are very cynical.
They're very suspicious.
They're very, very suspicious. Yeah. They're brilliant. Yeah. Let's always look at the
option
awful.
Three, accept her decision, have some self-pride, rise above it and move on and find someone who truly appreciates you for who you are. Even if you get back together, it'll never work because this episode will keep popping up in every argument. It's broken and unfixable, unfortunately, says Sean.
And I think one of the things, no matter what age you are, if you have a serious relationship, one that you've invested a lot of time in and that it suddenly goes off the rails, I do think one of the things for your own mental health that you probably need to do is come to terms with the fact that your future may not be with somebody else. It may actually be on your own. And I think you've got to make peace with that in some way. And
which is what I'm saying about, you know, in the short term, regardless of whether you believe it's an act of self-love or it's an act of trying to recapture your lost love and bring her interest back onto you, looking after yourself is the first stage of that, because otherwise you're just this upset kind of useless person who's kind of falling after
to think about your own personhood and the value of that rather than you don't work unless you've somebody else there reflecting you back to yourself.
Absolutely. And that's hard to do when you've been in a relationship for 20 years.
It's
hard to do. It's not easy, but it's doable.
Declan and Barbara, you can both back to your lonely bedsits now. Thank you very much for coming into us. We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief
on News Talk, sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.